The grace, peace, and love of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You might recognize this name. This is a good old Lutheran name, H. George Anderson. He was a Lutheran pastor, and he has a rich history of serving the church in many different capacities. He was a parish pastor who, for many years, fed the sheep from the table and also fed them God's word from the pulpit. He helped to form and shape generations of Lutheran pastors as he served as a seminary professor also. And he even served as our second presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But at his heart, he was a congregational historian. He knew that the life of the congregation was truly where the rubber hit the road in regards to God's actions in the world. I had the opportunity to hear him speak on numerous occasions about how the work of the congregation is essential to the proclamation of Christ's kingdom in word and deed. And on one such occasion, he took a little detour from his prepared remarks in order to muse openly about his guilty pleasure. That was, he was a person who loved to read congregational histories. And he said, while all congregational histories are fascinating, the best congregational histories record the truly important stuff. And he went on to explain it like this. He said, look, a congregational history is kind of like a boilerplate. It's usually we gathered, we built, and then we renovated. He said, but the best congregational histories are histories that include stories about the congregation's first acolyte, stories about the people who gave of themselves in many ways to ensure that a community of faith could fulfill its calling to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. Stories about individuals who were the congregation's public faith in the community in which they lived. Stories about those pillars of faith who dutifully taught the faith not only to the youth, but also to one another, as they organized and led Bible studies and adult discussion groups. Stories about those saints who cooked for and cared for their brothers and sisters in the congregation. Stories about those visionaries, those people with imagination, who could articulate a vision of what God was calling the community of faith to do and be. And then stories about those savage, pragmatic business types who could take that imaginative vision and organize it into becoming a reality. Stories about those hardy souls who would put their noses to the grindstone to make congregational ministry happen. From faithful property committees to members of the altar guild to cooks and ushers to quilters and musicians. He said, all of those are living stones that make the church a habitation of God Most High. Now today, we took a break from our normal lectionary, our standard series of readings, in order to hear the lessons that are appointed for a congregation's anniversary. And we are reminded that our work is indeed an intergenerational work that goes back to Kings David and Solomon, and even to the construction of the temple. We heard of the psalmist's pilgrim vision of approaching Jerusalem, the city on the hill, only to be smitten by the temple's resplendent glory. We heard 1 Peter's admonition to be a house of living stones. And we heard of Jesus speaking of himself as the great shepherd, whose sheep know his voice. And all of these texts remind us that our congregation is an essential part of God's action in the world. It is where the rubber meets the road. And yes, while we are part of a long history that stretches back through Kings Solomon and David and even to the patriarch and matriarch Abraham and Sarah themselves, we nevertheless have our own unique history here in this place. In 1869, a group of German-speaking immigrants, some Lutherans and some Calvinists, bravely joined together to form a union church. They had to pool their resources as newcomers to this country to create a community. Thus, St. John Lutheran was born. We were born out of a yearning to create a community of faith that would be able to gather together on the Sabbath, and a community of faith that was within walking distance of the farms that dotted the outlying countryside, because those Lutherans wanted to give their beasts of burden a day off on the Sabbath. This house of living stone was constructed by a people of faith with a vision for a community that would be built on Christ, who was the cornerstone. And through the years, like a hermit crab, we would cast aside one building only to inhabit another. From Hildebrand Hall to the narthex, the old church down on Main Street, to where we are now, this congregation was a house of living stones. So during the course of your Sunday afternoon, and indeed during the next week, think of all those living stones who have impacted your lives. Think of the people who have helped to claim generations of people in the waters of holy baptism. Think of those living stones who taught the faith to all who would listen. Think of those living stones who served one another in the community in Christ's name. Those living stones who gathered at this altar rail in order to partake of Christ's resurrection meal. The living stones who God lifted up as faithful servants. The living stones who were confirmed here in this nave. The living stones who celebrated the joy of their marriages here. Those living stones who were buried. Those living stones who then supported one another in their grief. Those who reached out to their neighbor with the gospel. All of those saints who sought to hear God's call and sought to live out that call in community. St. John Lutheran Church, a house of living stones. So may the God who called us out of darkness and into the light of Christ continue to bless this community of disciples now and into the future, so that we might continue to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Amen.